Hello and welcome to Legal Lad's Quick and Dirty Tips for a More Lawful Life. I'm your host, Adam Friedman. Today's topic, Constitution 101, the President and the Executive Branch. And now, your daily dose of legalese. This podcast does not create an attorney-client relationship with any listener. In other words, although I am a lawyer, I'm not your lawyer. In fact, we barely know each other. If you need personalized legal advice, contact an attorney in your community. This is the second installment of a new series on the U.S. Constitution. Consider it to be Legal Lad's contribution to the 2012 election season. For more on the Constitution, you can check out my other podcasts on the Legal Lad Constitution page at quickanddirtytips.com, as well as my new book, The Naked Constitution, What the Founders Said and Why It Still Matters. Before we delve into the Constitution, I have just a little preamble to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. Did you know that you can hear Legal Lad while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio? With Stitcher's free app for mobile phones, you can get the latest episodes of this show. And when you download Stitcher to hear Legal Lad, you have a chance to win some money. Find Stitcher in the App Store or at stitcher.com/legal. Download it, and then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter legal to be automatically entered to win a cash prize. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. Plus, you'll have access to all the QDT shows and thousands of other podcasts on demand. It's always available, no downloading or syncing, and it saves memory on your phone. I use Stitcher all the time to hear my favorite shows, and I really love it. And I'm not the only one. Stitcher has won all kinds of awards, including Best App Ever and the 2009 Webby. That's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter the code LEGAL at registration. Back to the Constitution. In our last episode, The Powers of Congress, we discussed Article 1 of the Constitution, which creates the Congress and sets forth its powers and duties. Today we move on to Article 2, which establishes the executive branch, headed, of course, by the President. Article 2 starts out with the following statement. The executive power shall be vested in a President of the United States of America. What is significant about this sentence is what it does not say. Specifically, it doesn't try to define the term executive power. In Article 1, the Constitution's framers said that the Congress shall be vested with the legislative powers herein granted, and then the framers went on to list all the powers of Congress. This is the doctrine of enumerated powers that I discussed in the last episode. By contrast, Article 2 simply says that the President shall be vested with the executive power, without defining what that power is. The Constitution seems to assume that everyone would agree on the scope of executive power. Broadly speaking, the framers understood executive power to encompass all the powers necessary to carry a law into effect, including such tasks as collecting taxes and fees, policing violations of law, and prosecuting the violators. And yet, throughout American history, there have been controversies about the precise limits of presidential power. For example, as I discussed in my episode, What is Contempt of Congress?, courts have developed a doctrine of executive privilege, even though such a doctrine is not spelled out in the Constitution. Perhaps the most controversial area of presidential power is the ability to send American troops into combat. According to Article 1 of the Constitution, it is the Congress, not the President, that has the power to declare war. This is one of the enumerated powers of the legislative branch. That would seem to give Congress the initiative when it comes to sending in the troops. In earlier drafts of the Constitution, the text said that Congress would have the power to make war, but that was changed to declare war, a change that was made, according to James Madison, to allow the President a free hand to repel sudden attacks. The idea is that the President, as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, has to be able to respond to imminent threats. He shouldn't have to wait around for Congress to pass a declaration of war. In the modern era, presidents have taken a fairly broad view of their power to repel sudden attacks. Consider that Congress has not declared war on anyone since the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941. And yet, America has engaged in numerous wars since then, including large conflicts such as Korea, Vietnam, and Iraq. In March 2011, U.S. forces bombed Libya on the command of President Obama, but without any congressional authorization. The Constitution does specify the President's power to appoint members of the executive branch, with senior executive officers requiring the, quote, advice and consent of the Senate. The Constitution is silent, however, on the president's power to fire members of the executive branch. The first Congress debated this very question in 1789 and concluded that the power to fire executive officers was inherent in the power of the president. This understanding was essentially unchallenged until the early years of the 20th century, when Congress began creating administrative agencies whose officers could not be removed by the president, unless the president could establish some malfeasance. A controversy erupted in 1933, when President Franklin D. Roosevelt tried to fire a commissioner of the Federal Trade Commission, and the commissioner refused to go. FDR argued that the very nature of executive power required that the president be able to fire all officials responsible for implementing federal law, a theory that is now referred to as the unitary executive theory. Ultimately, the dispute went up to the Supreme Court, which held that Congress was within its rights to create administrative agencies that are somewhat insulated from presidential control. The decision in that case, known as Humphrey's Executor v. United States, cleared the way for the alphabet soup of federal regulatory agencies that we know today, the FTC, the SEC, FCC, NLRB, etc., etc. And that's the report from QDT. I mean, Quick and Dirty Tips, of course. Thank you for listening to Legal Lad's Quick and Dirty Tips for a More Lawful Life. Thanks again to our sponsor this week, Stitcher Smart Radio. You can send questions and comments to legal@quickanddirtytips.com. Please note that doing so will not create an attorney-client relationship and will be used for the purposes of this podcast only.